Hey everyone, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Andrea, or as most people call me, Anj.
And this is Trendish.
We'll be covering relationships, faith, leadership, health, and everything in between. I'll definitely troll.
And I'll probably cry.
And we're so glad you're here to witness the whole thing.
Thanks for joining us. Let's dive in.
Hello everyone. Good morning, good evening, good afternoon, good weekend.
Okay.
Good day.
Okay.
Wherever you find yourself today.
Hi.
Hope it's a good one.
Hi.
Hi.
We are starting a new series that we're real passionate about. I think what's hilarious is I feel like we've kind of danced around the work conversations.
So many times. We've talked about it so many. We've, alluded to it so many times.
Like, we've recorded a couple, didn't actually release them.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I forgot about those ones. Those are deep in our archives. If you want to find our Trendish journal. That's what I would call those episodes.
They literally can't find that. It's not possible, thankfully. But I think we're in a good place and can talk about it now. Anything you'd want to preface with this conversation? With this series. It's going to be multiple episodes. They might be a little shorter than normal. We'll see. You never know with us. We just kind of like to be long-winded sometimes.
We do. And in topics like this, it might be long-winded. I think the only thing I would preface is listening to anything that we're talking about, like, with your own personal, like, company or organization's culture in mind. Like, there is no way we're going to be able to speak to every form of workplace or culture or leader or boss. And so take what's applicable to you. Mm-hmm. But I think there's also just the reality of, like, okay, well, that's good advice, but what if this, like, my boss does this? Great questions. Maybe we'll hit a Q&A at the end of all of this, but I think there's always going to be something kind of lingering there because we just can't hit every form of boss or person or culture in an organization. So
yeah, I think
hopefully we hit the majority.
I would preface, like, we're not old. So, like,
would totally preface that. Don't have a lot of knowledge.
We don't have the most experience. We have some.
Just got to get the conversation going.
Yeah. So I think I'd just preface to say, like, we're not experts here. Never gonna be. I think I'm gonna be on my deathbed and I would still say that.
Yeah.
So, I think we have some things to talk about.
I hope so.
Are you here?
Yeah, I'm sending, as we speak, a podcast on developing leaders to a few leaders we both know and love. So that'll be my what's trending later because I'm so passionate about it that I do it right now.
The other preface I'm going to say is we're both drinking Dutch Bros, so that's either going to be awesome for us or not.
Yeah, and also you're probably going to hear my ice swishing around.
I can hear your ice.
And I'm sure Jamie loves that.
So we're going to split this series up into a few different categories. Work and others, work and self, and work and leadership. So we're going to start the conversations. The first few episodes will be about work and others. So stay tuned if that doesn't float your boat and you're only here for the leadership. They'll be coming soon.
Though, you know, some would venture if you want to lead, you have to work well with others. So
well, yeah, I think
we like to believe it'll all bleed over.
I believe you need all three of these areas to be successful, but I'm just saying, some people are like, you know.
Hey, if you're not there yet, no judgments here.
Yeah, none. I think it would be helpful, and I think we've probably shared this at some point in our podcast, which it's been 2 years.
We've missed our like birthday or anniversary both times. We've like taken hiatus both times.
So
both times the anniversary comes
around.
It's because it's going into summer.
That's neither here nor there.
Yeah.
We've had a podcast.
We're neither here nor there.
Correct.
In that season.
We are. Where, like, give me like a really brief overview of your work history. Like, what was your first job? And like, you know, obviously we've talked many times about the fact that Anj was in high school reading leadership books.
Mm-hmm.
And I was in high school
reading Harry Potter.
Playing. Like, there was
I was also playing, to preface. Don't make me sound too good. I mean, I was.
I was not trying to be a leader.
I didn't even know I was trying to be a leader. It just was
the. But you were interested in those books.
I don't know why I read it. I found it so. I think it was the cover. I was like, this is cool. Black and white. Like, what's that?
Classic.
I have no idea what would have spiked my interest in even into like reading a book like that. I'm actually racking my brain. Brief work view, brief overview history of my workplace.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. That's a good one. So, started working at Five Guys.
Love it.
Burgers and fries.
Love it.
And prior to that, I worked at the Milk Bar at the New York State Fair. That was a fun one.
Oh.
We never talked about this?
We've
certainly talked about it. Talked about, like, it was the closest to the bartending days that I ever got to that I always wanted to
be. And it was milk.
I mean, you had to get quick with it, though. Like, there, I don't know if anyone listening here is just going to know, but if you know, you know. Like, you just got to be so quick. Like, they will give you, like, 35 tickets and, like, 20 whites. They would call it vanilla. I would die. It's not vanilla milk. It's just white. You either get white or chocolate. It's literally like a bar, and you just stand there so, like, all day.
Help me understand. Like, people go to the state fair and they want milk?
Yes, I can't. Yes, it's New York. Like, I can't. Known for dairy. Now, I need the people to know. This is not the city. We're not in city life, folks, in this time frame that I'm talking about. We are in upstate New York. It is the Great New York State Fair. In fact, they call it that. The Great New York, not the good New York State Fair, the Great New York State Fair.
Well, who would call it the good?
I don't know. New York who State calls Fair? It the great, to be honest? Like, it's just the State Fair.
Yeah, that's fair. I don't, yeah.
Okay, so anyway, there's a whole dairy building. We should also throw that in there. Whole dairy building.
Yeah.
And in part of the dairy building is the milk bar, of which you have like maybe 16 people total in this little bar.
Uh-huh.
And we truly serve cups of milk, like little plastic cups of milk, you know, like the kind you put in your bathroom and you, like, brush your teeth and then you
swish it out like those a little Dixie paper. Cup?
Yeah, but a little bigger in plastic, and it says, "I love New York" on it.
Okay.
Fair. Marketing. So anyway, you pay 25 cents a cup and you get just however much.
Sounds like a shot of milk.
It is. Well, it's a little bigger. Honestly, the cups were kind of big. But yeah, 25 cents. And so people would truly buy sometimes, like, maybe the most I ever did was like 50 at one time. And they, like, because you, like, get tokens for it. And they'll just walk up and be like, "I want this many white or vanilla," as they would say, "and this many chocolate." And you just go for it. Like, you just go. The funnel starts and you're just like pouring.
So that's your work experience.
Mm-hmm. That's all I've done.
Oh, really? Okay. Can see how this conversation's going to go for us really well.
The Dairy Barn, Milk Bar, Five Guys. Done a few things here and there.
Uh-huh. Well, I started working at Cold Stone Creamery.
Wow. Different, but the same.
Yeah. Milk. You know? Sweet cream. I was just talking about this recently, and I was just like, I just loved the fast-paced environment. Like, making sure the drive-thru was going and the people in the line were going and it was clean and the dishes weren't building up. And
somebody, so nothing's changed.
So, yeah, but somebody was like, "So you like project management?" And I was like, "Well, yeah, I suppose that is what that is." But, uh-huh. Like, I look back on that and I'm like, I was a good employee.
I look back and don't think the same.
Like, myself. I was, like, there are like, two different types of workers in that. You know, space. Mm-hmm. The people that love to sit there when it's slow and just, like, rest.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's the people that like to clean the caramel bottles so they're not sticky.
Yeah, that's Jamie.
Yeah. I'm still that way.
So we're a big spectrum. If you lie anywhere in the middle, basically everyone's welcome.
Yeah, you're covered staple. Here.
And she still, to this day, is it whether it is home, whether it's work.
Oh, I know, it really
always
is.
Something to do.
Whether it's your home.
Truly. That's actually what I pictured in my head when I said whether it's home.
Yeah.
Was your work. Yeah, so Cold Stone, did you do the, they like scoop it crazy.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Oh, yeah.
That's impressive.
We would like play catch.
Okay.
Like, I would like scoop it and then use my two spades.
Do they like train you? I've always wondered. I have never known that you worked at Cold Stone until this moment.
Yeah, I quit because I didn't want to get chubby.
Now I'm going to make it like this episode so much longer because I have so many questions. I've literally always wondered, like, do you have to like go through like a training to be able to, because I never see anyone mess up.
How do you mess it up?
Scoop.
You're mixing it.
Scoop the... I can only see it in my head and not verbalize it, but if you're listening, like, you know, they scoop it like crazy.
Yeah.
It's like, swoosh, 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 swoosh.
I can do that.
Perfect ball.
Yeah.
I also need everyone to know that 1 week ago I'm dying right now. I had my 4-year-old's birthday party, and the single job I gave Jamie was to scoop ice cream.
Okay.
Now my cousin can vouch for this because we're in the same group chat. Why do I have to scoop the ice cream?
No.
I mean, it was such a thing. You would have thought, like, I was like, wow, okay. I like feel, okay, Jamie doesn't have to do it. I'll find someone else. I will look high and low for somebody more qualified to scoop ice cream.
Munch.
Lo and behold.
I'm concerned. You are literally twisting this story.
No,
you originally asked me to cut the cake.
No, I said I need a volunteer, of which Lonnie volunteered.
And this is what I said back to Anj after all this was said and done. I can't wait to write a book about delegating the delegated. That is going to be a book that I write.
Except maybe we should co-write it because you still ended up scooping the ice cream.
Yeah, and then you didn't even thank me.
I didn't see you. There's a lot of leadership lessons just in of those last five statements right there. So anyway, now that I know your past.
Yeah.
You will always be scooping the ice cream.
Yeah. So what's your future?
And toss it around.
What are you doing now? I think this is helpful to the conversation.
Oh, currently in my life. Okay. Wait. With ice cream. It's like nothing. The party's over.
Yes, it is.
Currently, I work at a company called Paradigm Shift.
Mm-hmm.
Leadership development company, which is a fun time. My title is just ever-changing. Right now, it's the Chief Experience Officer. Oversee people.
Yesterday,
and money.
It was the CFO. So.
It was never the CFO. Don't lie to the people. Never that. But.
Like, what's your day-to-day look like?
Overseeing the people and the money.
Okay.
Truly, I walk in. I was talking to our actual CFO, who we contract in, and I was, like, just explaining our season right now or what I do or whatever. And he said, wow, well, I bet you just walk in every day just thinking like, well, I wonder what we'll do today. I bet you're just like, wow, I wonder what problem we'll solve today. I said, you know what, so-and-so, that is essentially what I do. Like, I keep a small to-do list, but hardly even that anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Delegate the delegated, you know,
mm-hmm.
that's my day-to-day.
Mm-hmm.
What are you currently doing, Jamie?
I'm doing marketing.
Mm-hmm. What kind? A whole lot in that world.
Yeah. I work at ORU and I am the director of enrollment marketing. So anything related to recruitment and retention, communication, marketing wise, I oversee it. That's it. In a nutshell, I have a long to-do list and I do it.
Right.
Because if I don't, nobody else is going to. And those are vital to our organization's success.
I would say that there's times where you and I have, like, been in similar work, like, been doing something similar.
Yeah.
And then other times that we're not really. I think this is a season we're not really. Like, I don't. Like, there was a time I would call and complain about, like, digital marketing or something to you.
Uh-huh.
That ship sailed.
Or, like, how do I change this into a PNG? And my first response is always,
wanna do
like,
that again.
Hey, did we put that question in Google? The amount of things I get asked in a day where I'm like, huh, somebody else could answer that.
Okay, now I've gotten better at saying, like, I could ask Google this, but if you are one of these people, and eventually we'll talk about what we're actually supposed to talk about, maybe this will lead into it.
Yeah, yeah.
But if you are one of these people, I am just a proponent of work smarter, not harder. If I know that a Google search will take me 10 minutes to eventually find the right answer, but 10 minutes to do so, versus calling Jamie, who will answer right away during the workday, and as long as I call, not text, and literally tell me the answer within, I don't know, 30 seconds, why would I waste my time? Why wouldn't I utilize the resources that God has given me?
I am a resource.
Google is a resource. Absolutely. Jamie is also a resource. Other people in my life
so
are also resources.
How much is my time worth to you?
Well, was it 30 seconds? I think I'm worth 30 seconds of your time.
Oof, all right.
Now, there have been times I'm like, I need a long-winded response from you.
Yeah.
Would love to meet about that.
Uh-huh.
I'm more clear on that regard. I'm not going to call you like, hey, how do I develop a marketing strategy? Could you just tell me that really quick?
You would ask me that.
But if it is, yeah, I would. But if it is, you know, a 30-second question, you're going to tell me a heck of a lot faster than Google is, I'm going to ask you.
Well, now I'm going to screen your calls.
I'm never asking those questions anymore. So.
Thank God. Well, I guess this does kind of, like, lead us into our first section of this series, which is like working with others. Like, what is
other people's time? Yeah, we don't even work together, but and yet, yeah.
Yeah. So I think, you know, we asked this question on Instagram, got some good questions. So I think we'll start with those, and those will just kind of lead us into a long-winded topic.
Us and long-winded? What?
Yeah, I know.
I'll be concise.
Let's start with how to get along with others when it's not the vibe.
Mm.
This is a big topic.
Mm-hmm.
Like you said, you gotta work with others.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was Tim Wei that said people move at the speed of relationship.
I think it's ministry, but it's still applicable.
Ministry moves at the speed of relationship?
I think that's what it is. Mm-hmm. Hmm. We might have both quoted it wrong, so...
Yeah.
At us. Give us the correct thing.
Uh-huh. I mean, this is a real, real scenario.
Working with others?
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. For as good, it's good when it's really good, and it's bad when it's really bad.
Yeah.
That's kind of how I feel about it. Okay, what exactly is the question here, working with others when it's not the vibe? Does that mean, like... working with others when your personalities aren't a fit? That's where my brain goes.
Uh-huh.
Is that... okay.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's one route.
Okay, so that route, what would you say?
I think it's always good to remember, like, why you're there. Like, you're not there to be... like, at the end of the day, the goal of your day is not, like, be best friends with the people you work mm-hmm. with. Like, you have a job to do, a role to fill... that is what you're doing at the end of the day.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I'm a pretty gray person
mm-hmm.
most of the time. But, like, I appreciate the black and whiteness of that. Like, mm-hmm. at the end of the day, if I don't get this done, like, I failed. You know? Like, that's, like, your starting point.
Mm-hmm. I think that, overall, that is pretty much, like, there's a truth to that. Mm-hmm. But then I think I see it be really hard for people to live that. As well, like, it's like, as true as that can be, I think people still really struggle. Like, they will either, if it is somebody who's a little harder to work with, at least in my experience, it's I'm going to avoid them unless I absolutely need mm-hmm. a response, in which case, like, there's not necessarily anything wrong with that, but there's other cases where their input actually would have been helpful to get an even better response or an even better outcome. And because we're avoiding that person altogether, mm-hmm. their weigh-in isn't being given. So there's one, that's like one side of it I see. And then the other side of it I see is like someone you don't agree with. Personalities are really hard. I am going to complain about that person to everyone else.
Mm-hmm.
And all of us are guilty of that. Like mm-hmm. there's not like a single group of people I think about when I think of that. I think I've seen that in every culture and in many workplaces that I've been in. But there's also something hard to that too, because then you're just feeding into what's already hard.
Mm-hmm.
You're not making mm-hmm. what's already, you're not bringing light into something that's already hard. You're just creating a bigger hole and a bigger divide to the thing that is already difficult. So it's like the two ways that I typically see people, navigate the difficulties.
Yeah. And I think, I guess the reason I said what I said is because, like, I'm thinking about my own job and, like, I have to have people in order to get it done.
Yeah.
Like, so I guess for me, that's motivation to find some sort of common ground with those people.
Right.
Because if I don't, I can't do my job.
Right. Yeah.
So, like, relationship is vital for me in order, like, to find success in the workplace.
Yes, but also no, because like you could still be doing everything you're doing and not have a relationship at all. Now, does that bleed into our toxic culture question? Yeah, it could.
Mm-hmm.
But like, I also just think, I guess this is what I'm telling myself in my head, even as you're saying it, is, well, just because you ask somebody to get something done doesn't mean you have a relationship with them.
Yes.
Or just because I am sending you these four things on my to-do list so that I can knock them out doesn't mean I actually have a relationship. Number one, is that okay?
Mm-hmm.
I think so. But number two, let's not define it what it's not, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I work mm-hmm. with them. It still doesn't mean I have a relationship with them. It is a step above the immaturity of, like, I'm just not going to talk to them as much as I can, so
yeah.
I don't have to deal with them. And then they actually are missing elements to making the outcome of what we're doing the most productive thing it could be.
Mm-hmm.
But if that's kind of off on the side, overall... it still begs the question of, like, how much relationship is actually needed to do the work mm-hmm. versus not.
Yeah.
Which I think also, like, the answer on the other side of that question, this is so gray, but like we just said, love the gray. Mm-hmm. But I think the answer to the question also somewhere lies in the other person, too.
Yes.
Like, for that other person, it might also be like, yeah, we don't vibe, we don't get along. Uh-huh. It's fine. I'm going to work with you when I need to work with you, and that's great. Like, we're not going out for happy hour after, and that's fine.
Right.
But then there's other people where that would really bother them not having their relationship.
Yes,
I'm not one of those people.
Like, you're just looking at me as if I'm, like, a workhorse for you.
Right.
And
right.
you don't appreciate me as a human being. Like, you just appreciate what I give you and what I provide to you.
But see, that is the that's where I was trying to land this, Jamie, because that is what is true but not true. Like, I would say overall in our lives, I think you have a better job of input into relationship versus me in the way that we're talking about. But for me, just because, like, I don't know that person's favorite TV show, or I don't prefer to get drinks with them or get coffee or go out to lunch with them or something, they're not the first person who I'm going to ask on a free lunch I have, mm-hmm. doesn't mean I don't value what they bring to the company. Like, it is so compartmentalized to me, and I have learned over time it is not that compartmentalized to everyone else. Mm-hmm. It's like what you just said. Well, wow, you don't value me as a person since we can't be friends and since we can't have a relationship, so all I do is, like, work with or for you or supervise you, whatever it is. But to me, it's not that black and white. I'm like, no, you might not be the first person I'm going to ask to lunch, but there's also tremendous value I see in you, especially as in being part of this company or this project or this organization. Mm-hmm. Like, there's no one else I know who could do what you do. There's no one else I know who could think how you think. And to me, that's so valuable. I don't really care to think how you think with you over lunch. Personally.
Yeah.
But in my mind, that's still okay, because what is the end goal? Is the end goal of our organization that we're all friends? Or is the end goal our common core values and mission statement? And if me valuing you as a person in alignment with those core values and mission statement helps us accomplish that goal, that's great.
Mm-hmm.
And I wish you could see how Jamie cringes, and so this is how we're different. But I am...
Well, I hear you, but I think I just, like, there's... People are motivated differently, and I hate that.
Oh, totally.
But,
yeah,
like,
totally.
I know, like, there are certain people I work with that, like, if I'm not making myself available to them and, like... There are more relationship-driven people, and there are more task-driven people. If I don't make time for those relationship-driven people to, like, have a pre-conversation, talk to them about their weekend.
Yes.
Like, I know our working style and our working relationship is not going to be as, like, enjoyable. It won't move forward as quickly. Like, I've literally experienced it. And then there are people that, like, they don't want me to ask how their weekend was, and that's fine with me. Like, they want me to, like, just get to the point.
Yeah.
What are you asking me?
Okay, but so this is what's interesting. We're saying the exact same things, but I view them a completely different way. Like, I very much still know, oh, this person, I'm gonna, like, not have to, but I'm going to ask about their partner or their dog or their weekend or their holiday or something. Wouldn't be my go-to with the other person. But in my mind, that is still all compartmentalized to getting the job done. It's not like, I'm in this divide, I'm going to ask how you are relationally. Great, now let's jump over to work. It's, we're working. Let me ask, how's this? How's mm-hmm. that? Because mm-hmm. it still affects your work, depending on how those things are. Working, mm-hmm. working. Great. Now you are still being developed as a person in this company.
Yeah.
I think for me, the divide is in and out of the office. That's how I'm viewing it, if that makes sense. Like, do I have to vibe with you out of the office? No, I don't think so. Do I have to, like, want to go to lunch with you? No, I don't think so. But that's how I interpret that question versus, oh, well, if it's not the vibe and I genuinely have to work with you, yes, I'm going to have to put some effort into you and I working together to accomplish this common goal. And that might sometimes be talking about our personal life.
Yeah.
If that's what you need. But in my brain, that is still all the in realms of, like, working together, not, like, going out and being able to be friends.
No.
Outside of a work setting.
Sorry.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. I just love that I'm getting older and more free in the sense that, like, I do not have to be friends with everybody outside of these hours.
But I think that's where part of this question comes from. Like, how do you work with people when it's not the vibe? Well, you just work with them.
Okay, well, like, let's get some more practical advice.
Like, we've talked a lot about all the way it circles around it. And obviously, there's, like, key things. Like, number one, establishing, are they a relationship person or a task person? Yeah, that's huge.
Yep.
The only way you know that is by actually talking to them.
You know? Yeah.
One thing that's helped me is talking to them about things that generally actually interest me about them, if that makes sense. Like, in my experience, it wasn't a vibe working with someone, there's, like, very specific categories or ways they talk or just things they talk about that are only establishing this is not the vibe.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I don't spur those conversations on. I actually try to learn more about how they think rather than how they act. So I'll just ask them questions about themselves or, I don't know, get to know their personality if they're, like, into some kind of personality test, like, if I'm giving real practical handles, that's what I found to be more helpful.
Mm-hmm.
If I can't stand the way that they talk about, I don't know, politics or their boss, or I really just can't stand the way they talk, because let's be real.
Okay. Yeah.
Sometimes that happens too.
Uh-huh.
Thankfully, that has not been a tremendous amount of my experience. But for some, like, I have talked to enough people that is just genuinely a reality. Like, one of the best questions asked to me was, like, Anj, are you trying to correct...
Yes.
Yeah, you know I'm about to ask.
Yes, I do.
Are you trying to correct their work, mm-hmm. essentially, or mm-hmm. are you trying to correct personality?
Mm-hmm.
And if you're trying to correct personality, like, you're just going to have to move on.
That you just got to call a spade a spade.
Yeah, that might be... And I would say people would say the same about me. Like, I'm sure they've worked with me and had to say the exact same things. Mm-hmm. Like, this is... Okay.
Anj is just not my cup of tea.
And that's okay. Truly.
Yeah.
That's fine.
Yeah.
And so that's actually the second practical handle I would give. Like, if it's not a vibe, is asking that question.
Does it have to be?
That's what I'm just like.
Like, do you have to connect with this person?
Yes.
Are you feeling insecure because other people connect with this person and you're just not one of them? Or, like, do you want to be close to this person? Then it's obvious they don't. Like, I guess, where does it stem from?
Yeah, you that's know? Probably the third layer to it, truly.
Mm-hmm.
Because it is such an overarching statement. Like, okay, if this is a lateral relationship and I don't connect, like we said earlier, I'm going to work with them and value them as a person. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to go out with them after mm-hmm. work or something outside of work. But then the conversation shifts if it's like, okay, you supervise this person.
Yeah.
Well, like, you by nature are going to have to talk with them more, and you really do have to value them in person and show it too. Like, you have mm-hmm. to show it laterally, but you also have to show it, I would say, even more to, like, who you supervise aside from just a task being done. And so there's a lot of different answers across the whole board. But overall, I would say a lot of what we talked about, like, what's your motivation
uh-huh.
in needing there to be a connection? Uh-huh. And if there really is a breaking connection, is it even something that could be, like, confronted or changed, or
mm-hmm.
it's just personality
mm-hmm.
and that's just not going to change.
Not today, but in this series I think it would be helpful if we ask that question of, like, how do you confront people and how do you be confronted?
Yeah, I was intentionally not going there on the last point.
Yeah,
so I think it would be helpful.
Well, I think we'll get there eventually, but I think that's a whole different conversation.
Yeah, it is. I think the only missing link that we really even talked about here is that there's also just a lot of patience.
Mm-hmm.
Really gotta practice that one. Working with people, not easy.
No.
My boss always says, like, if you want to make people happy, sell ice cream.
You know, I have done that.
You can
do
that
work.
By your own. Yes, you throw that. Wow, what a day! What a way to wrap up such a strong day today.
Oh, gosh.
Jamie, if you want to make people happy, go back to your first job. Toss that ice cream around. Scoop it up.
I'm trying.
You get the opportunity at some birthday parties to do it. Take with it what you will.
I feel the challenge to do that in other environments in my later years. So. In
your later years.
Mm-hmm.
It's true, though. If you're working with people and it's a people-driven company, then the people are always going to be the greatest blessing and sometimes the hardest thing.
I think the next question that kind of relates best to this is, like, let's say you do vibe with people. Like,
oh, sure.
How close is too close?
Oh, sure. Well, then we're jumping. Mm-hmm. How close is too close? Like, in friendship? Mm-hmm. And, like, in workplace?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's hard.
Mm-hmm. Because, like, I think it can really quickly become toxic. Mm-hmm. And you just, like, feed each other's, like, frustrations.
Mm-hmm.
I think on the other side, like, you know, I think there are environments where it's, like, that's just the culture.
Mm-hmm.
And it's weird if you're not.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I guess I'm prefacing and saying, like, there's not a right or wrong answer here. Like, if you're
really
not...
Really to any...
Well,
this,
yeah.
Yeah,
there's like, not. If you're not besties with your coworkers, like, that's not wrong. If you are besties with your coworkers, I'm not necessarily saying that is wrong.
Mm-hmm. But there's probably ways to do both wrong.
Well, yeah. Yeah.
But that is hard. I think the hardest part I've experienced in that is a double standard. Especially if you work in a company where the closeness just is there, like, that's even part of the culture, which is really okay, but if it exists, and especially if you're in any kind of, like, supervisory role, there is just always the, if culture isn't continually healthily, like, maintained and mm-hmm. good questions are asked, there's, like, a temptation to think, oh, well, I'm going to ask this person this because they influenced this decision maker in this way.
Uh-huh.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
Or, like, or vice versa. Like, I'm going to, or I'm not going to complain to this person who's making decisions here, because I know they're really close with that person. It's going to make it sound like I'm talking bad about them.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense? Like, yes. There's, I don't want to say an overthinking that can sometimes ensue, but it is. Like, if it's not overthinking, it's maybe even correctly thinking.
Yeah.
Because we're not establishing any other healthy norms. And I think that's, like, one of the biggest temptations and the hardest things to, how do you do that well? I mean, we could talk about that, but I think the outcome, if you're not doing it well, can be pretty... compiled over time could be pretty
detrimental.
Yeah, detrimental for sure.
Mm-hmm. I think it's important too to note, like, I mean, both of our perspectives, like, I'd say we have friends that we work with.
Yeah.
close friends. So not everybody has that same perspective,
right?
Or that same, like, option.
Right.
Like, we were talking to a friend just yesterday and they were just sharing that, like, it's, that would be weird, almost, because it's not as safe of an environment.
It's like a, like, cutthroat environment.
Yeah, like, right. They're trying to take your job.
Right.
Kind of thing. So, like, there's almost, like, a protectiveness you want to hold.
Yeah.
To save, or, like, keep your job safe.
Yeah.
Which is wild.
Yeah.
To me. Like, if somebody wants my job that bad, like, here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, mm-hmm. I'm not into this cutthroat.
Mm-hmm.
Thing.
Someone wants my job, take it. I think I say that like 3 times a day.
You'll give it back.
Honestly, yeah, take it.
Yeah.
Go for it.
Yeah.
But it is something, it is such a different environment. What I think is interesting, at least with like the friends we both work with now, is that friendship was developed in the workplace
mm-hmm.
overall. Like mm-hmm. I'm racking my brain, but it really, like, most of them were.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's also kind of interesting because there's another element when it's like friends you, oh, now happen to work together like that.
So awkward.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It can be. I mean, it can be like, so it's like a mix of feelings, like both exciting and a little bit of awkward. But either way, however it develops, that kind of awkwardness is still present in there, whether they were developed in the workplace or not.
Mm-hmm.
But I do find it interesting, like, I'm wondering if we maybe have better common ground in language to say, like, oh, I work with this person, they're a really close friend, and overall it's still, like, healthy.
Yeah.
You know, for the most part.
Yeah.
Clear boundaries you could establish probably, but, like, overall healthy. But I wonder if that's our experience because the friendship was formed in the workplace mm-hmm. as well. Like, mm-hmm. some people, it's the opposite. And then they come on, and what do you do? Like, you've been working this company for 2 years, and then this really good friend of yours comes along and they start working with the company and they get promoted before you or after you. Or there's some kind of, now it's like, I don't know, a strange, especially
yeah.
when you were friends before. Like
yeah.
that, it just makes it such a different, I don't know. I imagine, it hasn't been my experience, but I imagine it makes it a difficult
transition.
Thing to navigate.
Yep.
And I think maybe this is the answer across the board too, but one of the answers, there's not only one. But I think that's where the confrontation piece comes in a little bit, to what we just alluded earlier. Like, I have to say the thing that's not being said.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there is an elephant in the room. Mm-hmm. And I'm either not going to say it and risk the friendship, or I'm going to say it and actually it could go either way, but I have a better chance of it going a healthy way, mm-hmm. saying it versus not. And so I think maybe how close is too close, the answer kind of comes out of how honest can you be.
Well, and how mature can you be in, like, understanding that, like, this is our, like, this is work. Like, we're talking about work. Like, is it still possible for us to talk about family and, like, life outside of work?
Yeah.
Or are you going to be that person that's mad? Like, I'm going to just acknowledge my own, like, shortcomings here.
Yeah, tell the world, Jim.
Really bad at compartmentalizing.
Uh-huh.
Like, I want to be mad at you if I'm mad at work. And, that just, like...
If you're mad at them, you're mad at them.
Yes.
They're just a human.
But, like, there are certain people that, like, if I'm upset with you in a work scenario, like, I can talk to you 20 minutes later about what you're doing on a Friday night.
Yeah. Those people are me.
Like, I really envy that. Like, I wish I was more like that. It's just, like I said, I'm just such a gray person that I'm like, it's not so clear cut to me.
Yeah, right. But there's also value in that. Like, I'm not always grateful that I'm able to do that, because sometimes it's hindering. Like, sometimes it can make it seem like, wow, are we really not going to talk about that? If that makes, like, because I can just, okay, this is personal.
Yeah.
Friend, like, what do you want to do here? What are you guys doing this weekend? And it can, I think, sometimes almost come across like, I can't believe, like, you're not even going to acknowledge, like, maybe you have felt this, like, I can't believe you're not even going to acknowledge, like, the fight we just had in our work versions of ourselves.
Yeah.
And we're just going to transition right along to and truly in my mind, I'm like, yeah, I am. Like, we'll do that. We can finish that at work, you know? It's not a personal thing, but I am just saying that to say, like, I wouldn't, like, envy it, because I think it's hard both ways.
Yeah.
And there's value, actually, in the ability to do both, I would say. There's obviously no one who can do both perfectly, but there is a value to defining that and saying it.
Yeah, I think I would say I feel like it's better if you can compartmentalize, because the lines get less gray of, like, what do we talk about, where's our line of what we can, like, discuss, you know what I mean? Like, I don't want our relationship or our friendship to just be only talking about work stuff, you know? Like, I think when you start to cross that line outside of the work hours, like, it gets really hard to come back from that. And so, like, again, I value friendship so much, and, like, I just don't want that to be the only driving force of, like, why we're connected and how we're connected.
Sure, yeah, that makes sense.
But, like, to some people, like, that's all they need, that's all they want, that's all they, like, and I don't mean that in, like, they only need a work, like, they only need to talk about work, but, like, I'm just, like, truly saying, like, some people... that's what they want out of the relationship.
Right.
And if that is mutually understood, like, cool. I'm not going to judge that. Like, if that's what you want it to be, great.
Oh my gosh, yeah, we could do a whole episode on this one, so I won't dive into it. But, like, the concept of working friendships. Like, deep friendships you have that actually only exist in a work setting. I've listened to a few podcasts on this, and honestly, up until I've been probably more so where I'm working now, I just didn't understand it.
Yeah.
But my life was too intertwined, I think, for me to be like, what question is that? I don't understand.
I want to hear more about
it. If they're your friends, they're your friend. It didn't make sense to me. Truly, looking back now, it didn't trigger me until you just said that. But I was like, oh my gosh, that's what those episodes are talking about. Like, this security that I developed this friend in a work setting, and therefore they are my work friend. That's it. And actually, our common ground is work. And
I don't have to apologize that I'm not talking to you about my family.
No. But, like, if you left this job, this company, this job, I would be devastated.
Yeah.
And I like, love you so much, but, like, it's a work friend. Like this idea of compartmentalized friendships, almost, in a way. We've used that word a lot. I've just listened. It never meant anything.
I don't think I'm cut out for that.
I don't think so.
I really don't think I'm cut out for that.
But I never understood it, but I get kind of how that can, like, develop when you just, it is a collective group of all different kinds of people, which is normally what a work setting would be. And you meet these people just at work. And especially if it's a work thing that doesn't naturally, because we have to think about the work cultures as we talk about all of this too. Like there is a work culture no matter where you go, whether it's good or bad. There's just a culture always being developed in that way. Mm-hmm. And so if it is like some work cultures just won't, like the company overall won't intertwine family and personal with work. There's not going to be this zoo day, you know, where we're all going to bring our families. Like, yeah. There's not going to be this, we're going to go to this baseball game, whatever we have here. Who are they?
Huh?
The fireworks, the baseball team.
Oh, like drillers?
Yeah, sure. We're going to go there. No, for some companies, like, that doesn't exist. And so there's almost already this divide of, like, we don't have a bleed over and we don't need it.
Yep.
And I think that's almost where the, like, work friendships come into play, like, what I've, at least what I've listened to, like, on podcasts and stuff. It's fascinating. Like I said, we could do a different episode on it. Shoot us your questions there, because I'd actually like to listen to a few more of those podcasts before we really dive in. But I just found, like, wow, I can actually see if your culture is this way and you were brought on in this way, like, that really would exist. And like you just said, that might be all those people want out of the relationships or the friendship is work. And like, that's okay if that's mutual and that's, you know, understood, and that's kind of the culture and where you work. Like, I think that's okay too. However, if it's not, and it's kind of back to what we were just talking about, I do think there's something to be said, like, the less honest you can be, I think you should evaluate how close you are, at least from the lens of others as well.
The less honest you can be.
Like, if you're getting less and less honest.
To people? Or to
yourself?
With
each other. Good question. To each other.
Okay.
Like, you have to maintain, I would think, some sort of level of, like, honesty with each other in order to work really close together really well and maintain both personal and work styles in relationships and stuff. And I just think the less you talk about that and the less honest you get, the bigger divide is going to come between one of the two, personal or work. And then it's only a matter of time before the people you work with feel that as well. And that's where that kind of unsaid political hierarchy arises. Almost drama, almost like work drama arises in terms of, like, I'm not going to say this to this person because they're close to this, or they're upset with this person right now, so I'm not going to fuel the fire with this. And now work becomes less productive and much more, like, sensitive, maybe, for lack of a better word.
I'm going to stop us there. So if you want to hear the rest of this conversation, come back for part two. Well, actually, before I do that, we need to discuss what's trending. So, you want to start us?
Yeah, I'll be quick. Hip hop.
Honestly.
Just trending. Trending in 2020.
Honestly, never mind.
By
Drake.
By Drake, vibing with that. What is it? Come Home, the Kids Miss You, Jack Harlow.
Yep.
Love it.
Love it.
Post Malone released an album.
Kendrick.
Kendrick's, yeah. I mean, we could do a deep dive. I said I'd be brief, so I'm just going to rattle them off and that's it. Trending, big time. I don't know what happened in 2022, but hip hop just came alive, and I am just
here for it. Me too.
I'm also here for Harry Styles, but that's not hip hop.
Yeah.
So his album was also great.
Shout out, got him on vinyl.
Yeah.
So.
What's yours?
Well, honestly, I would say the hip hop too.
Yeah.
Like, I have them, just every single one of those albums on a playlist that I can just, like, shuffle through.
Yeah.
I mean, I listen to Drake. I have been listening to him exclusively, like, this week, because he's just helping me get stuff done. It's, like, that EDM type of, like,
vibe.
Where it's, like, it's just that I'm just able to get it done. And I need that right now. Because it's summer. Okay, we'll see you for part two. Thanks for tuning in today, guys. Don't forget to like and subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. And let us know what you thought of today's episode by tagging us on social media. This is Trendish. We'll see you soon.